Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we have a wonderful mailbag episode scheduled for everyone. So we want to thank all of our listeners for all of their commenting and emails and everything. With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hello, Rebecca. Hello, Alarmy.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi, everyone.
Now, Amanda, you were saying that we've recently gotten an uptick on merch.
Yeah, this is, as you know, we say normally in the aftermath, one of the ways you can support the podcast is by purchasing our merch. I mean, it's not, we're not really making money off of it that much, but I think it's a fun way to rep the show. But we have had a strange uptick in selling our Blame the Fashion Industry baby onesies.
Does it say Blame the Fashion Industry on it?
Yeah, it does. And it has this little graphic of like, I don't know, like a girl in a dress and a sassy pose. But I'm just wondering what this is. Like, what is it where people are suddenly like, is it spring baby fever?
I don't know. Oh, that could be. There could be an influx of new babies being born. And I also like to think that it's just like people, our listeners are trying to teach them young. Teach our next generation.
Well, you know, they do absorb so quickly, especially language. And I know there's a certain practice of women who are pregnant that read aloud to their stomachs.
Really?
They just read straight to their, well, not, obviously not their stomachs. It's the fetus that's in the, I think the fetus lives in the lungs or the
Yeah, tell us more, pancreas. Chris. Can you explain
that? Let's see what DuckDuckGo has to say about that.
I have to do some fact checking about this, but I'm pretty sure the baby lives somewhere.
In the rib cage.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Near the rib cage. And so, but the moms read to them at an early age. So maybe that's what's going on here. It's just sort of a continuation of that practice.
Well, I hope that what if moms are putting like headphones on their stomach so that they could hear our podcast?
That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have the Blame the Fashion Industry baby onesies. Maybe we should put some other alarmist slogans on some baby clothes, like shit trickles down. That could be
that's
cute.
A wonderful. Oh my God.
That's a good idea.
Oh yeah. And I mean, there are just so many images we could use for that one.
And also like a baby is doing a lot of pooping.
That's right.
And it will trickle down. It depends. Usually, a baby isn't usually upside down. So it will trickle down.
I hope it trickles down. Otherwise, maybe there might be something wrong with the baby. No, I'm not a doctor.
The poop.
And I don't even use Google know sometimes search.
The poop does shoot straight up.
Oh,
I've heard of that happening.
The force.
Yeah.
Wow. We're like 2 or 3 minutes in, and we're already talking about poop. Yeah. You guys.
But real quick, I'll just do the rest of my little spiel, which is other ways you can support the show are by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. We've gotten some interesting reviews. You know, I can always tell when our alarmy is growing when people start writing more reviews. And so we have some people who are, you know, leaving, who don't seem to really get the show, and they're like, we'll listen to one episode, disagree with our verdict, and leave a 1-star review, which honestly goes against the spirit of the alarmist. Because if you disagree with us, write us an email and we'll engage on it. You don't need to leave that in a 1-star review. That being said, we're getting some really good reviews too. Here's one that came in from Worrier Liz. Perfect for this worrier. 5 stars. I don't even remember how I found this podcast, but I am so glad I did. This is the perfect blend of history and comedy. The format is so much fun, and I am amazed at how much I learn with each episode. It's introduced me to so many other awesome shows through the Erios Network, and the Aftermath episodes bring even more understanding to the topic. Looking at who is to blame is such a great way to investigate all the different things that influence a single topic.
Wow. Well, thank you, Warrior, my fellow Warrior Liz. What a great name.
Is it Warrior or Warrior?
It's Warrior. Like, I worry warrior? A lot, but like it sounds like Warrior.
There's something, you know? Like, yeah. A Warrior Warrior.
Yes, that's
into.
What Rebecca is. I think that's
great. She does make a good broader point, which is that even though we do have the alarmist jail and we are very serious about who we put in there, bringing up all those topics on the board, you know, and perhaps the discussion of those topics is, you know, perhaps it's the journey, not the destination, basically.
That's right. What are we learning in the process? Am I right?
Now, I also want to shout out, because as you hear on the beginning of every episode, there's a feature called the Acast Supporter, where if you want to give us a one-time tip with no monthly obligation, you can go ahead, go to our show notes and click on the Acast Supporter app. And I just want to shout out a few people. I'll just say their first names, that they've been like really supporting the show, and then we can give them the big clap. So we got a donation from a Northern Alarmy member, someone named Curly, Christina, Anonymous, Amy, Funky Clown, JL, Becca, Sarah, Chris, Aram, and then 2 more anonymous donations. And there, you can leave us a nice message and give us, you know, whatever, $10. And we really appreciate it. That money goes back into the show. And so, yeah. And I just want to say, let's give them the big clap.
Woo! Funky Clown! Anonymous! You got this! Thanks! Thanks, Bex!
And if you're just giving us a tip to flirt with us, it's working. Because okay? I am charmed.
It really is a good way to support this podcast. We got some equipment with the last round, so that was really helpful and useful. So thank you so much.
Thank
to
you.
The Alarmy.
Okay, that's enough out of me. Okay, let's get to the listener emails.
We have quite a few, I've got to say. Now, this one is from listener Kristen Newkirk Johnson. And Kristen says, "Hey, gang, love the show. Just had to let you know that my son, who is a freshman, had to write a paper on who is to blame for Romeo and Juliet tragedy. He went with Friar Lawrence, but I thought it was great to listen to your Valentine's Day episode again to help him with inspiration. Here's hoping he gets an A. Also, I assume we'll hear an episode soon about who's to blame for the cargo ship getting stuck in the Suez Canal. I'm sure the fashion industry is to blame."
And if your child does not get an A, just do me a favor, send me a direct email to my email, his teacher's information, phone number, address, and I'll make sure to work it out.
Okay, what are you going to do?
That's between me and the teacher.
I mean, how could he not get an A? I will be up in arms.
No, it's definitely the friar's fault. I mean, it's Wait, which one did he blame? The main friar or the...
Friar Lawrence. Yeah, the main friar.
That guy. He dropped the ball.
Totally.
Yes, he did.
But I thought it was interesting that she recommended the Suez Canal. She didn't recommend it. She's like, I'm assuming that's happening. And you know what? She's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's on the books.
It's good to be a certain amount of predictable. You know what I mean? You want to be a little predictable. And I think, but I just think it's right there. It's right in front of us. We got to talk about it.
I find a lot of joy hearing about all of these parents who are now connecting with their children and their schoolwork through the podcast and perhaps like papers and history, you know, essays that they're having to write with them, and thinking about who's to blame and using that in their, I don't know, schoolwork. It's really
it's
exciting
so cool.
for me.
It really is.
I know.
Imagine how much podcasts would have helped you with research reports when you were.
I gotta tell you, no, but really, like I get holding up the physical, actual reading of books like is really not easy for me. I get very distracted super easily. But like, if I pop a podcast in and then I can go for a walk, or if I put an audiobook in and do some work outside, I tend to absorb the information better. I just wish I had it when I was a kid.
Yeah,
we would have been so much smarter.
Well, we're making up for it now.
I don't know if that's possible, but you guys maybe. But.
Oh, okay, Chris. Hi, this is another email from Elizabeth. Hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much for doing an episode on the Flint water crisis. As a resident of Detroit, this is an issue that is near and dear to my heart. I want to share some quick tips with your listeners who might be concerned about their own water supply after hearing your podcast. Detroit, like many American cities, still has a lot of lead pipes, and even though corrosion inhibitors help, they don't completely prevent water contamination. I tested my water shortly after buying my house, and when I got a result of 19 ppb, I started filtering. Mm. I encourage your listeners to do several things. First, if you live in a house built before 1986, look at your service line, the pipes that go into your water meter, probably in the basement, to see if it is made of lead. The lead pipes are a dark matte gray, are soft, and turn shiny when tested and filter your water. Oh, sorry, I skipped a line. Here we go. Turn shiny when scratched with a screwdriver and don't attract magnets. Mm. If you have a lead line, you should test and filter your water. But even if you have a steel or copper line, you could still have lead contamination from pipes elsewhere in the city. Mm. Second, consider testing your water. You can find a list of EPA certified labs at your state's EPA website. Search, for example, Michigan Akit. Sorry, I'm like jumping all over the place. Michigan, this is what you should search. An example, Michigan Certified Water Testing Lab. My test cost about $30. Oh, I thought it would be more. And was very easy to do. They mailed me a kit. I collected the sample and mailed it back. Third, consider filtering your water, as I and many of my friends and neighbors here in Detroit do. I love my Berkey countertop filter, and I would say that this is the most popular choice here, but I've also seen people use inline under the sink systems. Hope this helps. Much love, and stay alarmed, Elizabeth. I love tips, and I love when they're like 1, 2, 3, and these are all really good tips.
Organized tips.
I love it.
I like it too. And you know what's interesting is that last week, or maybe the week before, the President Joe Biden came out with an infrastructure plan, and included in it, I don't know if you guys caught this, was to update all lead pipes. He wants to turn all lead pipes copper, not turn them copper. It's not like alchemy. He can't just wave a magic wand, but I guess replace them. So that would be cool.
This is part of the $2 trillion plan that he came out with?
Yeah, this is part of that massive infrastructure plan. And, you know, there's a lot of debate about it and whatever, but it's good to know that it's, and I would also like to think that maybe somewhere in the Joe Biden administration, between all the PAs and all the people helping out, somebody maybe listened to an alarmist podcast.
Uh-oh, it could have been old Joe himself.
It could have even been old Joe himself. Could have been old Joe himself, who knows?
But you know who
Joe, if you're out there, don't worry about this one. You can claim it's your idea. We'll let you have the credit for the first one free. How about that? Honest.
I do like to think of Joe listening to our podcast as he works out in the morning, because I know he has that like 7 a.m. workout routine.
Oh,
this
man.
This is what I read somewhere.
I got to get on the Biden routine.
I read he like works out, runs or something. Or he might be doing some Peloton. I don't know. But he works out at 7 a.m. and then he gets ready for the day. These are awesome tips. And our house was built before 1986.
Same.
So I think we should get on this. Like, seriously.
I know. I want to check it out as well.
And it's only $30. So, and I just got to point out, I love that Elizabeth gave us an example for a search.
It's yeah. like, you too.
It's like, we're all Chris on DuckDuckGo, and she's just like helping us out.
We need somebody watching over our shoulder with their sort of hand gently patting the top portion of our back as punching in our search words.
So, okay, this is another listener email. This is from Miranda, and Miranda says, "Hi, Alarmist Crew. I started from the beginning of your show, so forgive me if this isn't topical anymore." Well, nothing is topical, really. Yeah. While I was listening to your Y2K episode, you guys wondered if women were allowed to be programmers at this time. My grandmother, Diane, who my middle name comes after, was one of the programmers who worked tirelessly in the years before 2000 to fix the computer issue. I feel that I should also remind you that this was the late 90s and women, allowed or not, were doing just about everything. I believe she worked for Intel, although I could have, I should double check that to be sure. So not only were there ladies working to fix Y2K, my family feels strongly that this was the crisis that took a lot of effort to avoid. Minor issue, your discussion included the note that the programmers had a responsibility to communicate to the public that the crisis had been avoided, that the crisis had been avoided or should be avoided.
No, had been avoided. It was all okay. Fixed, right?
To which I would ask, were people like my grandmother supposed to cold call news organizations until one of them decided to believe this? Out of all of the calls, stations were assuredly receiving random thoughts on the subject. I know Rebecca doesn't like to blame the media. Even if he will not rot in one of your cells, the media is forever in my dungeon of hatred.
Mm.
And she continues, I'm only halfway through your episode, so forgive me if you ever address this. Rebecca, you claim each episode that she's not a historian, but as an archaeologist and historian myself, I am confident that you should be able to call yourself a historian. You actively do the work of one by collecting evidence and weighing the facts to find your interpretation of what is important about an event. That's how you write history, baby. I like that she included baby. Even if you don't feel you have been properly trained, Rebecca, you do incredibly thorough research and discuss the validity of different sources, which encapsulates the exact critical thinking skills necessary to write a good historical interpretation. Sorry for the long email. It's how you know I'm not lying about being a historian.
Well,
the good work, Miranda.
What do you think of that? Miranda says you're a historian.
I know. I mean, it means a lot coming from a historian. So
historian to historian. And that means that Chris and I are historians' friends.
Well, I mean, that's true. That's 100% true. It's a notch in our belt there. And I'll say this. If you can call me a fact checker, we can definitely call you a historian.
If you call me a producer.
it is nice. There is, you know, there's a critical thinking element that I probably don't give myself enough credit for. I don't know. It's still up for debate whether I'll
let's let the history books decide.
Yeah. And I want to also say to Miranda, just wait. The episodes are going to get a lot better and a lot more, you know, historically accurate with all of our guest experts that we start to bring on. So she's in for a treat.
Mm-hmm. I do also like her at posing the question about her grandmother calling news organizations until one of them decided to, you know, write a story about it. No, I don't think every one of these people who were working on the Y2K crisis should have called the media. But perhaps, I mean, there had to be at least one person hired to do some phone calls, right? I mean,
well, isn't
where's
that,
the PR for this thing?
Yeah, the PR, yeah. Isn't that sort of like, I don't know, the government, like who are the leaders here? They should be making sure people
somebody
feel
should
safe.
Have,
I don't
somebody
know.
Somebody should have had that job.
Right.
But, you know, of course, funny to think about it that way. Thank you, Miranda, for writing in. Now, let's see here. Here's another email. This one's a more serious one. This is from Sarah Livesay. And Sarah says, hi, I've been loving your podcast and I find myself very comforted by thinking through who is to blame for history's greatest tragedies. I really enjoyed your recent Anita Hill discussion. Just wanted to pass along a detail that might bring down any remaining levity that the topic of workplace harassment and abuse slash assault slash murder of women might have had left. You mentioned that women are safe at malls. I totally get it. It was a joke because, yes, we did. We were joking around about going to the malls when we were younger. I live in Coralville, Iowa, where in 2015, a man killed a young woman at the mall. She worked in a kiosk there, and he was a security guard. He killed her because she rejected him. It was an awful thing, and I was there at the theater at the time. I haven't felt safe at the mall ever since. Anyway, I'm truly not passing along any blame for the joke. Unfortunately, women really aren't safe anywhere. Thanks again for your podcast.
Yeah, good. So. Interesting point. And of course, yeah, you, especially in a mall parking lot, I always never feel safe. But I think part of also, like, as two women who don't feel safe anywhere, us joking about it and laughing about it is part of like a coping mechanism.
Yes.
That's so how true, I feel, Amanda. At least, you know.
Yes. It's like, ha 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 ha, nothing's going to happen. Nothing bad's going to happen. Right, right, right.
Yeah. It's the world that we live in. But and I do often, you know, think about these things. And I think that's also why women tend to be more true crime obsessed than guys, you know. And so they are a lot of the consumers of these sorts of like dark murder stories. And I think it's because there is something cathartic about leaning into that fear.
Right. Yeah. I as a person who is obsessed, as a woman who is obsessed with true crime, I can attest to that.
Well, that may have been something one of our guest experts talked about. Was that maybe Alyssa?
It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. I do remember that. I mean, and I feel like we've said this before, but I don't know why we're so obsessed with it. I wonder if it's because like we feel like, sadly, if and when the time comes, we're going to be more prepared.
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, point taken from Sarah. Fact check, you in fact are not safe at malls.
That's right. So.
That's true. So. That's true. And I should
another
have been on that.
Another place we're not safe at.
Yeah. And thanks, Sarah, for sharing your story and your anxiety about that.
Yeah. And I can only, I mean, very traumatic experience and a terrible, terrible situation to have, you know, have happened.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Here's another. We got a lot of emails, so we're playing a little catch-up here. This is from Megan, and Megan says, "Hey friends, I'm still catching up on episodes, and I just finished the Black Sox scandal. You guys put the flu epidemic of 1918 on the board, but quickly took it off, wondering if now that you've lived through a pandemic yourselves, would you change your minds? Do you think people could be desperate enough for more money in times like these to put their careers and reputations on the line? It'll probably take me a few months to hear the answer if you talk about it on any episode. Also, sorry if this has already come up, but I just thought listening about this today. Absolutely love you all and enjoy binging this podcast while my toddler naps. Megan." What do we think?
It is interesting that the point sort of makes me think about just certain people who I've talked to. I mean, we're in the entertainment field, and I know people in the music industry. No big deal. You probably recognize some of their names. It's not a big deal. But just people in entertainment who have sort of, the pandemic has stirred up a lot of sort of emotions and feelings about the life choices they've made and sort of are reconsidering. I don't know if this is exactly what Megan's talking about, but they're sort of reconsidering their career path, what the future holds for them, where they want to live. I know there's been a lot of people moving during the pandemic. So it is an interesting point about how this pandemic or going through a worldwide pandemic shifts the way you think about the world.
Yeah, there's been a big uptick too in crime, right? So that's something that's interesting. I feel like when people don't feel protected and that their government is in control, I could see the inclination coming in to sort of, well, then I'm going to let loose too and do what I need to do to get to protect my family.
Ah, I understand. And we also have to remember that this is 1918, like there weren't social economic welfare services in place in the country yet.
Right.
It isn't until after the Great Depression, right, that those systems get put into place.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you're also, you know, there's also all kinds of technological advancements and sort of communication advancements in communication that sort of affect the way people can still reach out, in a pandemic.
So. But what I'm talking about is like financially, because I think what Megan is trying to say is that it's understandable that they would go with this scheme to cheat.
Right.
Because they're doing it for monetary reasons, mm-hmm. right? And I think that it must have been incredibly bleak at that point without financial assistance, without unemployment or all of those things to you know, they must have felt lost. And it is more understandable, actually. I think she brings up a really good point. It's more understandable why they would go there. And I think for us, we were like, you know, don't cheat. You know, morals, like, you can't cheat. You can't cheat the World Series. But like, okay, but like, what if you think the world is ending?
That's interesting. You're right. There was probably a lot of sort of doomsday mentalities going on back then.
It's a bit of a slippery slope of a precedent setting where, are we going to, if we go and live through a tragedy like the historical tragedy, are we going to have to revisit it with fresh eyes? Like, for example, if we were to be in a volcano eruption, would we go back and go back to talk about Pompeii?
I think we would. It's just more content for the podcast.
That's true. And, I mean, content, we have to just keep pumping this stuff out.
And right? I can't believe we've been avoiding doing the 1918 flu epidemic, by the way.
I know. We feel like it's too soon.
Yeah,
or
we do. So, which I think is like, maybe that's one that we do in a couple of months or a year once we have a little bit more perspective.
Yeah, once we see we're still in it, though. So it's hard to be like, how are we going to come out of it?
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Yeah. Maybe next year on the anniversary, you know?
That's right.
Well, that's a good idea.
I'll do one more. And this is from Deputy Chris. We all remember Deputy Chris. Hello, my alarming supervisors. Deputy Chris checking in. It's been a little, and we are finally getting the last of the consumers processed out of here. Okay, I found another tunnel, so I think that you should be on the lookout for either male hubris or white privilege. Also, Rebecca, I'm sorry, but a lot of bed sheets are missing, and I can't find the fashion industry anywhere.
Oh, my God.
So there's a mess. Over at this jail, it's a mess.
It's a shit show.
I told you we shouldn't have done those cutbacks, guys.
I think they may have made guard uniforms.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Chris said that he thinks that he would look good in high-waisted pants. Does he envision the first or second example below?
Oh, there are some great photos here, and I guess I would say the second, which is Steve Urkel.
There's a photo of Steve Urkel. That's second. And then there's a photo of an older, much older man who has he's a belted pant all the way almost to his nipples.
Right below the
and
nipples
he seems
there,
to be boarding some sort of helicopter. Is that what?
Yeah, I wonder if this is a famous person we should know about.
I know. No, I might.
This might be Deputy Chris's great great grandfather.
Does he envision the first or the second? Okay. Anyway, well, I'm not in my work uniform. I dress in something that they call WWNYW. It has worked for me since high school in the 70s. What would Neil Young wear? Really streamlining your closet will put a bit of a who's to blame? Strain on your t-shirt and jeans draw. So I don't have a suggestion. So I do have a suggestion. If you want to get to number one, how about Who's to Blame for the Joe Rogan Show? Or Who's to Blame for the Tallest Redhead Late Night TV Host? He's referring to us wanting to get number one on the comedy charts.
Gotcha.
I see. I don't know if we could do. We do have a conflict of interest with Who's to Blame for the Tallest Redheaded Late Night TV Host, because friend of the pod, recurring guest, and my husband, Matt Gourley, is producer on the Conan O'Brien Show. So
that's problematic.
And also, one time, the alarmist was mentioned on the Conan Show.
Really?
Yes, I forgot about this, but I'll have to find the clip. But basically, Conan was saying he wanted to start a feud with a small independent podcast, like a Twitter feud or something. And Matt suggested The Alarmist.
We could think of a couple things to say to shoot out to Conan if he really wants to get the sparks flying.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Who's their fact checker over there? Because I want to know how I size up. It might be Matt. Matt's sort of a producer. No, he's your counter, right? He's your
Yeah.
He's the Amanda.
Oh, yeah. So Rebecca would be Conan. Yeah, this is actually perfect. Rebecca's Conan. I'm the Matt. And Chris, you're the Sona. That's Conan's assistant who's on the podcast.
Oh, I've seen her. She has incredible long, curly hair. Yes. So we would have sort of a hair off competition.
That's
curly hair thing.
Yeah. You're right. And Rebecca and Conan just physically couldn't be more opposite.
But you know what? That's a duo for the ages. I mean, that's now that's comedy. Well, this is these are, you know, our listener comments and emails for now. We've got a few more, but, you know, we'll save them for next time.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, everyone, for writing in.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll leave off today's episode with perhaps some inspiration. I'm making this up as we go. Why? I don't know. The inspiration is go out there and get it done. Get it done, people.
Wow, you didn't think of anything at all? You just wanted to... just hoping that would come to you as you opened your mouth?
Wow, that's like incredible. Bold. She's standing on like the edge of a tall building, just like assuming she's got a parachute on.
It's like in The Matrix when you just have to jump across that building and like nobody ever can do it the first time. Like that was kind of like what it looked like. And then Rebecca just kind of fell down onto the street Leo does.
Sometimes you got to open your mouth and hope for the best.
That's so true.
and learn from those times where it doesn't go well.
Well, that's just the definition of podcasting right there.
Well, tune in next week. We are going to be covering the assassination of Lincoln.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.